our hardships and our traumas teach us such important lessons. And that really taught me a lesson in humility and in asking for help and support. So rather than pretending that everything was okay and reassuring others while I was a nervous wreck inside, I was vulnerable and authentic, and I told people I was in horrible financial straits and in horrible financial stress, and I asked for help, and help came out of the woodwork. I had a neighbor suggest that I talk to his CPA for a business valuation, and the CPA, I handed over my QuickBooks file in tears, and 2 days later, he said, "Joyce, your business is actually worth a seven-figure multiple."
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. New episode, new review to highlight, and we got another 5-star one via Apple Podcasts from user Danielle, spelled with D-A-N-Y-E-L-L-L-L-L for luxurious, legendary, luminous. At least that's what I'm giving it. Anyways, this 5-star review is titled "Fuel for Ambitious Minds." Dom's energy is infectious. He brings humor, heart, and genuine curiosity to every interview. His questions are thoughtful and engaging, making guests feel at ease while drawing out valuable takeaways for listeners. Whether you're on your morning commute or winding down your day, this podcast gives you a motivational boost without any fluff. Woohoo! Well, darn straight, Danielle. Thanks so much for leaving that great review. And if you like something about this show, be sure to let us know by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or heading over to goingnorthpodcast.com and leaving it there, and we'll highlight it on a future episode so we can keep the fire going that is Going North. And we're a couple episodes from the official 1,000th episode. So thanks a bunch for all the folks who keep the show going north. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed. It's the era of returning guests yet again. So thanks a bunch for the folks who support the show to keep it going and going north, if I do say so myself. Pun definitely was intended on that one, because we got a wonderful lady, y'all. That's right, Deidre's kicking butt 3 years ago, and she's back in better than ever, and she didn't even need to get any better because she's always kicking butt, but she's back, y'all, because today's wonderful, award-winning, best-selling author, is a mompreneur, wife, renowned psychotherapist, international keynote speaker, CEO, and a mental health thought leader. So let's give it up for the joyful and magical Joyce Martyr. How you doing today, Joyce?
Thank you, Dom. You're so kind. I'm so happy and excited to be with you again.
Yeah, shoot, me too. I've been following your journey on social media. It's like, oh, sure, she's killing the game. She like, nope, I ain't letting no grass grow on these feet. Nope.
You are such a good social media friend. I really appreciate you and all the connections that you make and all your support and how you help all of us.
Oh, yeah, definitely indeed. Usually say those guests on the podcast, usually a fan of them for life, usually.
That's awesome. It's mutual.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hey, you've been freaking killing the game for real. How many awards your book's gotten? What, 30?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I may have overshot it a little. I heard that it was a good idea to apply for book awards, and I made a little spreadsheet, and I picked, I think, 16, and I won 9 book awards and 5 honorable mentions. So that was pretty exciting. Some of them were book festivals around the world, like Paris and San Francisco, New York, etc. And some were from like the independent publishers and indie books and others. So really honored and grateful as a first-time author. And I recommend that other authors apply. Even if your book came out a year or two ago, you can still apply for these awards, and it helps your book get some recognition. I got some fun little seals to add to the cover when I'm signing and selling my books at speaking engagements, and it's a way to reach a greater audience.
Oh, yeah, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed, because that's true, indeed. That's right, indeed, because you got, what? I think it's three other languages the book's now been translated in, the Financial Mindset Fix.
Yes, it was translated in Taiwanese in China and Korean in South Korea and Spanish in Spain and Latin America. So really cool. I'm very grateful to my literary agent who really not only got me the book deal with Sounds True for the English speaking version, but they were also able to get me these foreign book deals as well. And so super cool to see all the different covers that they developed and the different ways that they're marketing the material.
Sweet, that's what I'm talking about, dude. And you got another book coming out to the Psychology of Success. So did the book companies like, hey, you got to do this again. We're actually making something here.
Yeah, I'm really excited. My literary agent asked me to put together another proposal. My publisher asked for another submission. So we're polishing that up and going to shop that around. Please send good luck. It's, you know, these are challenging times and there's a lot going on in the world. And I would love for my book to help people deal with these times of uncertainty and give them practical tools and strategies to be successful at home and at work.
Me lucky indeed. So it's been helping you keep your head on straight during these times because it feels like, hey, things keep on shifting around here.
Seriously, we've been dealing with chronic change and uncertainty for the past several years. I mean, from the pandemic and till now. And it's global collective trauma. And we're just constantly pivoting, whether it was the pandemic or the rise of AI or political divide and unrest, economic uncertainty, global conflict. There's just a lot going on in the world. It's almost too much to process. And so many of us are overwhelmed. We're burnt out. I'm calling this period of life the great exhaustion. We're just depleted and we need some practices, some mental fitness practices to do on a daily basis to reboot and refresh and gain some clarity and some motivation to create positive change in the world.
The great exhaustion.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I see it in myself, my loved ones, my clients, and the people that I speak to. It's just there's a lot of change. A lot of people are dealing with overwork and burnout, and I want to be a support and a light and a resource.
Love to see it, dude. You love to see it. Indeed. Yeah, funny thing is, it's like, I can't believe I didn't even figure this out on your last visit, but I learned after listening to more of some of your recent interviews, you're actually a freaking yogi. You actually got your freaking 200 hours. Like, dude, like you have like a whole utility belt that you keep hidden that you don't always show off.
Right. Well, yeah, so I really credit meditation and yoga and other mindfulness practices with helping me stay calm and collected and, you know, helping me foster the resilience to move through challenges. I mean, you've been very gracious in highlighting my successes, but with each of those, there were many failures. And I believe in a growth mindset and persevering. And those practices really help us to become grounded in the here and now, to focus on our breath, to focus on our deeper, higher self and detach from our ego and, you know, align our gifts with the need in the world to the greatest extent possible. So they've really been transformative for me. And I teach many of those practices in my speaking and writing.
There you go. Which one's your favorite to teach?
I love teaching Square breathing is one of the most simple breathing exercises. You breathe in to the count of four, hold for the count of four, exhale to the count of four, and hold to the count of four, and repeat. And while you do this, you can even follow a square with your eyes. And this is a active meditation. It's something that I do on airplanes, actually, because I'm a little claustrophobic and I get a little anxious when I board the plane. And so I just look at the tray table in front of me and follow it like a square and do this breathing exercise. And it's amazing how powerful it is. It causes us to, you know, slow down and deepen our breath, which relaxes our minds and our bodies. And we get out of our head, out of that mind chatter that fuels anxiety and sometimes depression. And it's a really simple practice that any of us can do, you know, whenever we need it, before a meeting, on our way to work, on our way home from work, you know, before we have a difficult conversation with a loved one. And it's just a snapshot of what breath work and meditation can do for us. So even creating a morning practice of 5 or 10 minutes, you know, before reaching for your phone and overwhelming yourself with your emails or the news or social media, taking some time to set an intention for the day, to connect with the breath and the body and your senses, and to have a moment of stillness really is going to set your day up for success.
Be like it, dude. That's right, indeed. Yeah, probably also getting some good old air back into the brain. That's right, indeed.
Exactly. It calms and regulates the nervous system so that we can have equanimity or mental calmness, which allows us to be consciously responsive in life and work rather than emotionally reactive or defensive. So these practices also help with our emotional intelligence, which I don't know if you know, Dom, but companies like Google, now their main thing that they're looking for is self-awareness and emotional intelligence. And that's the biggest part of their job applicant screening.
That's freaking great, because those are highly needed, highly necessary.
Right? It's needed for us to work in teams and to lead and collaborate and to be able to understand how we come across to others, to become more aware of our blind spots that we all have as human beings, and to learn the skills to communicate effectively, you know, diplomatically, respectfully, and to resolve conflict, because it definitely comes up in the workplace as well as at home.
Yeah, it's definitely true. It's definitely true, because hey, at the end of the day, we're all humans. It's like, hey, stuff's going to pop up, especially in a big organization, especially like Google. It's like, shoot, I'm sure a bunch of stuff pops up, like probably constantly. It's like, hey, you got to be able to manage yourself and then be able to manage others if you're in a manager role. It's like, hey, if you ain't managing yourself, it's not going to be fun for everybody else.
Exactly. When we're part of a group or a system, whether it's our workplace or our family or our community, it's like we're all parts of a machine. And when we improve, there's a ripple effect throughout the organization. And if we're not working on ourselves, we can cause dysfunction. And so doing our inner work, whether it's sharpening our psychology, our self-awareness, becoming aware of our themes and patterns that we all unconsciously repeat until we become aware and choose something better, and doing our deeper spiritual work so that we feel connected and like we have belonging and meaning in the world, that's going to help us serve better at home and at work.
That's right, D. So my goodness, speaking of home and work, like how do you manage it all? Indeed, because being a busy mompreneur with kiddos, especially, shoot, if I'm not mistaken, past couple of years, you had a graduate or two, right?
I did. You're so sweet to know that. And yeah, when I first started my mental health company, my oldest daughter, Celeste, was 1.5, and I had not yet had Claudia, my youngest. So I grew a business, scaled it, and sold it while being a parent. And my focus, I named it Urban Balance because I believe in work-life harmony. And I built the business so that I'd have passive income when I was at home with my kids. And so I saw my own therapy clients while they were at school, but I had a whole army of therapists seeing clients in the evenings and the weekends and in their own offices. And that afforded me the ability to, you know, take care of my family. And also, it's such a blessing to be able to provide people with jobs that they enjoyed and to help the clients have accessible and affordable mental health care. So it was a win-win-win. And now I have a blended family, including my two older stepchildren, Caitlin, who just turned 29 yesterday, and Nick, who's 26 and made us grandparents with our granddaughter, Evelyn, who's 2. And my husband, Jason, and I joke that we have 4 adultlings between us. They're all yeah, they're all at different stages of growth and development and independence. So even though they're out of the home and we're empty nesters, we're still supporting them in developing with their own lives and work and families. So it has afforded me more time to focus on my speaking and writing. And so I'm enjoying that space as well.
Yeah, so I guess I got to add Glamaw to the bio.
Thank you. That's so nice.
That's right, indeed. Be like Glamaw. She don't even look like a grandmother.
Ah, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. We're young for grandparents, but yeah, we've been through it.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. And having the tools to make sure you don't look like it either. That's freaking amazing. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I guess I got the new book coming out. Any other big projects coming out folks should be looking out for?
Well, I have some new keynotes. I have one called The Infusion Revolution, ooh, which is to address burnout and provide people with practical mental fitness practices to thrive, to move from surviving to thriving. And I continue to give many trainings on mental health awareness in the workplace, across industry, across the globe, honestly. About a third of my engagements are in-person keynotes on the stage, and 2/3 are virtual webinars for national and global corporations, large associations, federal agencies, universities, et cetera. So it keeps me busy and engaged, and I love being of service and meeting people working in different industries and living in different parts of the world. It's, you know, I'm a student of life and ever growing and ever learning. And that's definitely a value for me.
Me luck indeed. Definitely got to be a student of life if you definitely want to get the most out of it. Definitely indeed. Definitely indeed. And shoot, you actually joined the NSA and got your CSB in rapid fashion. So what inspired you to join the NSA, and how has it been like since getting your new CSP designation?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about it. So I joined the National Speakers Association back in 2017 when I sold my mental health company with the intention of becoming a full-time professional speaker and author. And I joined NSA Illinois. So the National Speakers Association has chapters in most states. And the chapters are really great for newer and intermediate speakers who maybe want to participate in a boot camp to learn how to build a better speaking business and be a better speaker. And it was there that I learned about the national organization. And as I grew in my speaking business, I joined the national organization in 2019 and just love the conferences. They have 2 per year, Influence and Thrive. Influence is the larger convention, which occurs usually in July each year. And whoa, was I inspired by these powerhouse speakers, global speakers, you know, change makers, healers, you know, spreading their light and their wisdom in the world. And so recently I applied to join the board of the National Speakers Association, and I was elected and am serving a 3-year term, which I'm really enjoying. I served on a number of professional counseling boards in the past and found that really rewarding. And I applied for the Certified Speaking Professional Credential, which is the highest speaking credential in the profession. And the requirements are you need to have more than 250 paid speaking engagements over the span of 10 years. There's an income benchmark that you need to earn at least $50,000 or more per year, or at least 5 of those years solely from speaking. So if you do coaching or consulting or something else, that income would not count. And we also have people evaluate us. So our clients are queried, and we need to have at least 20 different corporate and professional clients evaluate our work with them. And the toughest part is actually the video review, where we submit unedited videos of ourselves professionally speaking. And they're pretty strict about that. I've had a lot of friends and colleagues not get the CSP the first time around because of how particular the requirements are. And I'm really humbled and honored and grateful that I made it through. And this credential will help me hopefully join more speaking bureaus. I was just added to one yesterday through eSpeakers, which is awesome. And the bureaus help speakers and authors get more speaking engagements, usually at a higher price point or larger audience or larger reach. So really, really proud of that accomplishment, and want to encourage others to join NSA and to, you know, get involved and to start tracking your speaking engagements so that you can apply for your CSP someday as well.
Me like it, D. Congratulations, D. That's what I'm talking about, D. That's right, indeed. Might end up on that good old big speaker, if I'm not mistaken, one of those celebrity bureaus, and D. Be like, yep. That's right, indeed. But now you got to put a price on you. You got to inquire within.
You're gonna be paying
six figures, buddy.
Wouldn't that be great? One of my heroes is a woman, Precious Williams. You might be familiar with her. She lives in New York City, and she is just a powerhouse speaker. She won Shark Tank, and she is a pitch master. And her life is just is like a celebrity. She is all over the place, flying first class and looking gorgeous all the way, and lighting people up and spreading her brilliance. And you know, I aspire to be like Precious someday. So I believe we all need heroes to look up to and to, you know, emulate. And if they can do it, maybe we can do it too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely indeed. We could do it too, indeed. So my goodness, so with all the wonderful success you've had, I know you had some setbacks along the way. So has there been a major one that sticks out to you that actually became a setup for success for you?
Yes, absolutely. I think when you and I talked about my book, The Financial Mindset Fix, I shared that when I started my mental health company, I started it with $500, $50,000 of student loans. I made 1,000 mistakes and ended up in cash flow hell. The bigger that the business got, the more money was outstanding in insurance claims, and I couldn't make payroll or pay my rent on time. And I laid awake at night with insomnia and panic attacks. It was really enormously stressful. I dealt with so much shame around it and lost my business partner. Many of our clients left. When she left, she just couldn't handle the stress anymore. I thought I was going to have to file bankruptcy. And that experience really was an enormous blessing. And I think for most of us, our hardships and our traumas teach us such important lessons. And that really taught me a lesson in humility and in asking for help and support. And so rather than pretending that everything was okay and reassuring others while I was a nervous wreck inside, I was vulnerable and authentic. And I told people I was in horrible financial straits and in horrible financial stress. And I asked for help, and help came out of the woodwork. I had a neighbor suggest that I talk to his CPA for a business valuation, and the CPA, I handed over my QuickBooks file in tears, and 2 days later, he said, "Joyce, your business is actually worth a 7-figure multiple." And my business partner had just left it and walked away, looking at only at the debt and the lack. And I didn't understand how the business could be worth that because we owed hundreds of thousands of dollars. But he said truly it was a cash flow problem and that he could help me get the proper lending and help me make some adjustments to my business to make it more profitable. And 7 years later, with the help of so many others, I was able to successfully sell it and have an exit beyond my wildest dreams. And that's what really taught me the connection between our mental health and our financial health. And when we're in times of scarcity, like right now, it's really common for us to start to have financial fears and anxieties and worry that we're going to lose our job or we're not going to have enough to retire or the stock market's going to go down and maybe our business is going to be impacted by the tariffs. And so it's so important for us to ask for help and to take care of ourselves and, you know, to have practices that give us hope and faith and to persevere and move through these challenging times. Because on the other side of it, often there's enormous growth and blessings that come from these times of turbulence.
So right about that indeed. Yeah, definitely can be one of the biggest problems that high performers have, especially. It's like, oh yeah, I can do this all my own shirt. This is fine. I got this covered shirt, capes on and everything, like Superwoman swag, Superman swag, ahoy. And it's like, crap, let me ask for help. This is getting bad. We're getting to the center of the earth here.
Absolutely. So now I almost don't do anything without asking for support and consultation. And sometimes we don't have to even pay for it. We might have people in our support network, in our family system, in our professional network that we can barter services or mastermind together, brainstorm together, problem solve together. I'm in a community of 6, 7, and 8-figure women business owners called the Dames. And we all help each other with our entrepreneurial endeavors and our businesses. And everyone has different strengths. And we all have different areas of deficit or weakness. And so when we collaborate and we share our pain points, we can get help from others, especially if we're willing to give back and nurture that support network.
Oh, yeah, definitely indeed, definitely indeed. Don't want to come back to a forest when there's no forest.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, fun question for you, and I guess we'll, because I didn't even know you're a yogi the first time. Now I get to mess with you for the second time, indeed. So your fabulous book, The Financial Mindset Fix, if that wonderful book was a yoga pose, what would it be and why?
Oh, my gosh. It would be crow pose, which is an arm balancing pose where you have your hands on the floor and you're inverted with your head pointing toward the floor and your knees are on the backs of your elbows and your feet are off the floor. It's a really hard pose. And I talk about it in the book, The Financial Mindset Fix, because for years I told myself I couldn't do crow pose because it's really hard. But then I realized that's probably my inner saboteur, Zelda. That's what I call her. We all have that critic in our head that puts us down and keeps us small. And I told Zelda to step aside. And I started doing that pose one arm at a time. Then I faked it with my feet still on the floor. And then I face planted 100 times. And today I can do crow pose. Albeit I don't hold it very long, maybe it's a few seconds, but I can do it. And that's the message that I have in the Financial Mindset Fix and the Psychology of Success is that we get out of our head, we connect to our heart and our body, we breathe through challenges, and in the end, we're going to be stronger, more balanced, and more resilient.
I can resonate with you. That crow pose is a beast.
Isn't it hard?
Yeah. Yeah, because years ago when I was doing Taekwondo, like my instructor would occasionally throw in yoga stuff just for flexibility purposes. And The crow came up one day, and I'm like, oh, the hell is this? I'm like,
it's cool that you did Taekwondo. Do you still do that?
Not these days. Got a bad nagging injury when I showed up late and had a Charlie horse a bell. And
Oh
then that
no.
turned into a bad old knee injury.
Oh gosh. Well, you know, yoga's for everyone and there's modifications for everyone and it can help us stay limber as we get older. And so I encourage you to revisit that practice.
Oh yeah, definitely. I still do stretch every now and then, definitely. Not yoga low, of course, but yeah, definitely. Like, it's a requirement. It is definitely a requirement. It's like a few weeks without stretching properly, you could tell the difference immediately.
Exactly. And it's the same with our minds. You know, we need to have mental fitness practices or we start to stagnate and get stuck and have kind of default patterns of being and communicating. And if we want to be nimble and we want to grow, we need to exercise our mind as well.
It's so right indeed. It's right indeed. So have your brain do the crow pose. It's right indeed.
Absolutely.
That's right indeed. If you feel like flying, make your brain do the pigeon pose. That's right. That's right indeed. Just avoid cars if you get into the pigeon pose.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. So my goodness, coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive for round two of Going North, and that is, you're called to give the final keynote speech of your life. You get 90 minutes, and your audience is all 8 billion people on Earth, and they're magically all in the same stadium at once the size of Texas. What would be the main message you would love to share? What would the main points of that message entail?
Wow. That is an amazing vision. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think the main thing that I want to teach is compassion, and compassion for ourselves and compassion for others. I really believe that love is the currency of life. And if we can learn to relate to ourselves with more grace, self-forgiveness, affirmation, kindness, and extend that to others in terms of empathy and openness and respect, that we can evolve together.
She's got jewels, y'all. That's right. Indeed, love's the currency of life, y'all. You love to see it. That's right. Indeed, that's right. Indeed. Death of cock is all indeed. It's like, yep. That's right. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. It's a powerful energy, y'all. Powerful energy indeed. Well, hey, the good news is Joyce has tons more to offer, tons and tons more to offer indeed. And y'all only got a freaking slice, a taste, if you will, of what she has to offer. So for those who need to jump more into the metaphorical pie of what Joyce has to offer and cop multiple copies of your book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
The book is on Amazon. It's The Financial Mindset Fix. And my website is joycemarter.com, J-O-Y-C-E. MARTER.com. And I'd love to connect on social media. I have a digital course. As you've mentioned, I'm a speaker and I also do some coaching. So happy to support people as I'm able.
Oh, you heard that right, folks. That's right, Dave. So we're going to put a link to all the choices, goodies in the show notes. That way you can keep up with her and all that she's doing, because she doesn't stop, y'all. That's right, indeed. She's like the Energizer Bunny with all this content, y'all. She just keeps going and going and going. And it's good stuff, too. That's right, indeed. And she keeps this voice all the time, too, which is freaking amazing. So it's like, hey, it's like a neutral, peaceful tone. It's like you're in a random meadow the whole freaking time, out of nowhere.
You're so nice, Dom. It's so good to be with you.
I'm glad the feeling is mutual, indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop?
Oh my gosh, I just want everyone who's listening to this to believe in themselves and embrace their worth and tend to their dreams, because that's part of our self-care and self-love. And we each have our own gifts to share, and it's important that each of us do.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.